This is a Wait Don't Do It podcast with your girl Nunu Paris and Raffy. Make sure to join us monthly at El Rey for Reggaeton Brunch. You can follow at Reggaeton Brunch DC for more details. We'll see you there, baby sotas. Mwah.
We are back with another episode of Wait Don't Do It. Also, real quick, I want to welcome back to the internet DJ Lothario, the DJ who created our DJ mix. She just made her announcement that she's just back. She made her first post after like 2-3 years off Instagram. She looked beautiful, and she was just so happy and joyful. I love you, Paige. Sending you love.
I think that the cool thing about any art or any form is that you don't just, you know, lose it, right? You can always go back to it, and I think that's just proof of it. It's just passion, and that's what really carries us. No?
Wow, thank you for coming to our TED Talk. Yeah, you came to talk business. I just avoided a crash out, so I'm feeling that post-avoidance crash out piece, and I'm ready to start this podcast because I feel like a lot of the things that we were talking about, just discussing, is the theme of the episode.
It's your girl, Nunu Paris, and Raffy here for episode 6 of season 8 of Wait, Don't Do It, entitled Wait, Don't Cuss Out Your Boss. We talking crash outs, awkward emails, and really how people just do things that piss you off and on a daily basis. And that thing we call work, employment.
Especially as people that have full-time jobs outside of this, but also now have to work together. And probably in the most professional capacity we've ever had.
I'm always professional. So, you know, for me, look at me. I'm a businesswoman. I came professional, came ready.
Yeah, you do look like, what's her name? Miranda Priestley? It's giving Miranda Priestley. It's definitely giving Miranda Priestley. It's almost giving Death Becomes Her. You're kind of giving Megan Hilty.
Oh, I thought I was giving Sabrina Carpenter. You're so, so funny. So work has really been on topic of our mind, just like everything else. It's a topic that goes through all of us because we are either are working, searching for a job, trying to avoid job, trying to avoid work. And what are some of the things you think you do to try to avoid work, Raffy?
We're just jumping into the episode. Okay. Is my boss listening right now? First of all, if you work at my job, if you use any of this against me, I feel like that's illegal. But no, at my job, I feel like I live by every job that I have. I feel like I always go with asking for forgiveness is always better than asking for permission. And that's how I navigate everything in my job. Everything.
So how do you have fun outside of work? How do you make sure you're balancing the fun?
Well, it's hard for us, right? Because we have our podcast, we have our DJ stuff, we have our drag stuff. So like a lot of the stuff that we do is fun, and a lot of the stuff is also still work. So it's kind of navigating. But I feel like I said,
forgot relationship. Some of us are in a full-time commit relationship, which is another job, right, lady?
It blows, I know.
No, seriously. I think of all the jobs we do and what we consider jobs. But then some of you all have little ones, have children, or fur babies. That also counts to some people.
Yes, so yes, Lord. I know based off of how my energy has flown through with Lord. I've never hit Lord, but I fully know that I feel like if I had a child at this point, I would have hit the child by now.
Lord
doesn't give me that much crash out, but if a child was actually making me crash out while work is affecting me, while just like my partner relationship, because I'm not having a kid without a partner, honey. If my partner's fucking with me, like if all those things are happening and if my fucking kid was mouthing off, I'd be like, bitch, shut the.
Oh wow, we don't we do not advocate for child violence.
Videos, it'll be like those Yes King videos, like, bitch, shut the fuck up, right?
I really just want to say we don't advocate for child violence.
I'm not hitting hard. I'm just gonna. It's just more of like a bitch, like in the back or something.
What? All this is abuse. I want everyone to know this is abuse. I am so.
I got the belt once, so I'd rather got a little hand.
I got the belt a couple times.
Exactly.
But, you know.
And you turned out
But I don't agree. I don't think that hitting is a good resource.
Absolutely not.
It is definitely, you know, amusing and an idea of how we use it, like, ha ha, yeah, da, da. But in terms of, like, real life, I just think we should talk to kids.
Absolutely.
But I definitely, you know, as an educator, it's the first days, first weeks of schools for us, and I definitely wanted to line it up with a child yesterday. So I get it.
What happened?
It's not even like nothing happened. It's just when they do too much on the first day, like when we over here doing stuff in class, assigning seats, don't come here and talk about late. Tell me, so what are we doing? Assigning seats? I'm like, yeah, I just said that. Like,
so what do you say? Like, Mrs. P, like, what's up? You look pretty this year.
It's too much. It's too much early on. But other than that, I feel like all the jobs all culminate to the same thing. I think that's something we learned growing up. How many jobs have you had? Let's start there. How many jobs have you had in your life? 1? 15?
Oh my God. I've had at some point 5 jobs in one at once. And I've always had multiple jobs, and I've consistently worked since I was at the age of relatively 17.
Okay, tell me your first real job experience.
My first technical job I had was child labor, was against child labor laws. I was working the front with my dad at the job that my dad was working at. I was helping with like answering phones or whatever and like ringing people out.
Oh,
I was only getting paid $100. I was only getting paid $100 a week,
but that's pretty good.
I was working. Or every 2 weeks, but I was only working, or I was working like 60 hours though. Like I was working like whenever my dad was there, I was there answering phones and everything. And I was like, this is terrible. And
you're still so bad at customer service, and you've been doing this since you were 10.
I'm not good at customer service. Don't tell my boss this, but I mean, no, I'm not. I don't ever like am rude to the customer. I just match energy with a customer. So already, if you're coming in with, if you're trying to really manipulate me into being like overly nice, so I have to be really nice. No, I know you're gonna try to like lowball me, I know you're trying to fuck with me. So what is it? If you call me at 5, or if someone calls me at 4:50 already with an attitude, I'm going to answer with an attitude. I'm going to be like, this is the last 10 minutes of my shift. What's up? I've done that. I will. I haven't said it verbatim, but I will say things like that. Because I'm like, girl, at the end of the day, what are you doing?
I'm really great at customer service. I don't like doing it, but I'm really great at it. It's because I'm a fake bitch.
You think you're good at customer, you would never do it is what you're saying, but you're really good at customer
service. I'm great at customer service. It's just not my favorite thing to do.
You know that line in a movie? They're not rich because they're nice or whatever. They're just nice because they're rich. You're that. Like, you're only, like, kind and everything because you can be. But I swear to God, if you were working customer service, you'd be passive-aggressive. 100% you'd be passive-aggressive.
First of all, anytime you're working with the public, it is customer service. What I do now is customer service. What I've always done is customer service. That is actually how they present it to me in my job, even education.
Yes.
Yeah, they present my job. They present it as you got to provide customer service. They usually use the word. We have had whole seminars on customer service. So I feel like I do it. I have to do it. You have to be kind when you face the public. But as I've gotten a little older, I don't match energy. I just match tone. Because if you drive me, I'm going to drive you. Like, let's not be crazy.
I match tone, I match energy. But now I will always leave with a question today. For example, I have a coworker that will not talk to me. He hates me. I literally just am trying to do my job, reach out to him. It'll take him a day to reach out to me, and then he'll send me a one-liner. But then he'll confirm things that we're working together on without telling me. Absolutely. And so finally today I said, is there a reason why you're not communicating anything with me? Do you need to have a conversation? And then he was like, no, he didn't even acknowledge it. Honestly, he just moved on to the next topic. I was like, this man's psychotic, but I will always engage just a little bit.
I, love drama. I just want to be clear. I love workplace drama. I realized that I said that today. I said that today at work. I said, I think I'm kind of messy.
Workplace drama is definitely what gets me through the day. Talking shit literally feeds my soul at work.
And I'm known for being everyone's bestie. So everyone thinks I'm just talking individually to them. And I'm talking to everybody. I'm so glad to listen to this podcast. I'm talking shit to everybody. It'd be such a key, no shade. When you're working with teams, do you think it, like at a job, is your team more important than the organization, or you treat it as like the organization? Like, I protect my team, right? Those are my people, right? You got to protect your people that's with mm-hmm. you. But the organization or the job, like, do I care about those people? Hell no. So, yeah, I'm messy to them. I guess they're coworkers too.
I
if you're not my team, I ain't got no loyalty, no shade.
What I've been taught in my job, it feels like that no one's loyal to nobody, honestly. I feel like everyone
Wake
has...
that up.
Huh? I feel like everyone has had a moment where they have, even the people that I've been closest to, we've had moments where they just do stuff that throws me under the bus, even though their intention is probably not to do it, but because they're Caucasians, they will just tell on themselves and tell on us, and then it affects everyone. And so this is my message to white people, and I hope this doesn't go too viral, because I hope it doesn't land on my Caucasian boss's desk. But stop telling on, like, stop telling your white boss. Like, that's part of white supremacy to me, is that white people will just tell on each other, themselves, to their white boss, even if it means they're gonna lose money on something. And mind you, this is not like big, like stealing or big things. It is just the smallest details that 5 years won't matter, 2 years won't matter, 3 months won't matter. And they'll just tell on themselves.
I think it's important to recognize that culturally, you know, there are some different nuances, right, in job place cultures.
Yes.
And it is broken down, like everything else in our country, by race. And ethnicity. You know, as a black person, black workspaces are different than white workspaces. Just to give you an idea, white workspaces are about openness, about transparency, about being involved in each other's business. Okay.
Yes.
That is definitely a cultural thing that white people do. They love being in business. That's how we get to these Karen moments, all this stuff, right? For black people, we do the exact opposite. Everyone should mind their business. Everyone needs to mind their business. If you don't mind your business, then it's an issue, because you don't have nothing to do with no one's work, no one's hours, no one's money, no one's anything. At the end of the day, they ain't got nothing to do with you.
I would definitely say that. I feel like Latino people and black people are very similar in that way. Like, I've never felt a... I've never ever felt any, and I don't know what this is about me, but I've never felt any allegiance to any organization or any sort of like business that I've worked for. It's always been about, is it my friend? Do I like the client? Do I like the person? I'm gonna make my day easier, and it's gonna be mutually beneficial to everyone, but I'm never going to overextend myself or try to make the business more money when I virtually see a business not trying to make me money or trying to enhance my life. So I think, like I said, I think I've just never had this weird loyal, but again, I work in like service and like hospitality, so there are people that make money in our thing, and I'm always going to prioritize making myself more money than ever. So I just never understand why I've had white coworkers just tell on themselves to almost points where they don't get raises. And I'm like,
what are they going to get? Like employee of the month? Is that still a thing, y'all? Do y'all still do employee of the month? I want to know. You know, for you millennials, okay, again, if you're beyond a millennial, this didn't happen. But back in the day, all the cartoons, right? SpongeBob, all the cartoons focused on this idea of employee of the month. I feel like work culture was just like ingrained, right? That's how the sinister evil capitalism is. They put in the cartoons. But it was always like, you got to be employee of the month. And you wanted to do that. And then you would look at like other employees like Squidward and be like, oh, damn, they're not trying to go for it. They're being lame. And then you get older and you're like, no, who wants to be employee of the month, bitch? Like, that's fucking lame as fuck.
I just want to be employee that's getting paid a lot, like a lot. Like, that's all I want. That's all I want. And I want to not be asked where I'm going on vacation. I don't need you asking me anything. I don't want you in my personal life. And maybe this was a 20-year-old behavior, but the older I've gotten, you will never see me hang out with a coworker outside of work. You will never.
I was gonna say that is something that you grow up and realize coworkers are not your friends, and that was definitely in an adjustment. I feel like I had to get used to in the working space, especially up here in Maryland, in a black area, again, where mind your business is the culture, and they're not trying to hang out at work. And I was so used to being in white spaces where I would hang out with people and I would be more open and do all these things. That transition was very interesting. And I remember being like, oh my gosh, I don't have like a friend. And you know what I did, y'all? I started a podcast. So I think that it allowed me to find other outlets and not tie myself to work. I don't look down, but I do hate when people make work like a real part of their personality in life. Cause like, it's a difference if it's like a passion, but if it's like just a job, like girl.
Yeah. I just, like I said, I don't believe in living my life for working. That's why I have been told that I'd like a lot of my jobs, even when I've worked for other people, have been entrepreneurial in the sense that when I was a trainer, I was selling my own stuff. I was working for myself. I didn't really have anyone overlooking me. This is the first time I have a boss that doesn't really overlook. I don't really see my boss, but I do have a boss I have to report to. And I despise that. I hate having a boss. But speaking of do not curse out your boss, I feel like it's about knowing your boss and always having control, even if your boss is just terrible. Because what are the bad bosses? Are there like archetypes of just bad bosses? Like who's...
Yes. So I think I've only had like a few, but not a lot. The bad bosses I feel like are the same type of people who are insecure, who are controlling, who are micromanaging, right? That all goes down to the bad boss. I think we sometimes like to, in culture, right? I think that was an attempt, right? With Devil Wears Prada to be like, I'm going to make Miranda Priestly or Anna Wintour, who is about seem like, you know, this, you know, terrible lady just for having demands and standards. I don't think that's necessarily it too. Obviously, when they don't have work-life boundary, you know, balance, that's annoying, but I don't think it's about having standards, but I also don't think it's about being too lax. I think it's just about being like a regular human being that you can connect to. But the worst bosses, I feel like, live in D.C. They're right down the street from you. The big boss of America.
Well, yeah. That's a terrible human being. But yeah, I think I've never really enjoyed any of my bosses, if I'm being honest.
Wow.
Like, and in a sense that...
Has anyone liked their bosses for real? Have I actually really liked a boss for real, bro?
Honestly.
Oh, I have. I have.
A lot of my bosses have been disorganized. A lot of my bosses did not belong with it in the roles that they were belong. And usually that affects everyone, including especially me. But then I've also had that boss that hated you, but you... I was a really good instructor. My college boss at the campus rec hated me. Sarah Sheffy, I'm going to say your name because I hate you. You were just terrible. Terrible. I never liked her. And I knew she didn't like me, but she only like dealt with me because I was a really good instructor and I brought numbers. But she would just always show so much favoritism for other people. And I know I was annoying and I've always been annoying.
Yeah, it's true, especially in college, Diva. especially in college, Diva.
Oh, I was a monster in college. I mean, I've always been a technical monster, but I've definitely refined the monster.
We were all monsters. Again, also a monster. Absolutely terrorized the girls. But I've had, I think, three great bosses. Two at college, actually. As really? RA, all my people, okay. All my supervisors.
Y'all were strict. y'all were strict. I believe everyone was a good boss in RA school because y'all were strict. RA school?
Oh, no, there were bad ones. There were definitely bad ones. I had good ones. There were definitely ones. Oh,
it's the academy, girl. Y'all thought y'all were so special. RAs, especially maybe at our school, maybe this is unique. This is not a unit. I'm not talking about all RAs. But at USCG specifically, I don't know what they put in y'all's water, but y'all were God's favorite.
Okay.
Welcome to the God's favorite program.
It was a weird thing at our college.
Every RA that I encountered had this like holier than thou. I'm not gonna tell on y'all. I'm so cool. Y'all were just like trying to be a cool. It was just very an interesting dynamic.
That's why I said I actually think that whole system is diabolical looking back, right? Like you go back and look, I'm over here calling police on my fellow peers and terrorizing things and being RA and all those things seemed so fun back then. And at our school specifically in the South, I'm not sure why, but being a resident advisor, being an orientation leader, specifically those two jobs were like the it ticket hot jobs. And I was both of them.
you know what the school's favorite?
And the thing is, the worst part is that it was like a cult. Like I hated it.
It's like that everywhere. It's like the every, no, you know what it is? Because someone I was dating just like a few weeks ago, we went on a date and I could just tell you were like an SOS person.
For sure.
And I was like, yes, it's just that energy. I don't know what it is. It's just baby energy.
And they
it's
like embolden us.
Energy. It's only child energy.
No, it kind of gives like, you remember back in the day where the teacher would walk out the class and they would appoint that one person to write down names and you felt like so powerful.
It's like the final evolution form. The final evolution form is working for an educator, I guess. A lot of y'all are RAs turned into either educators or like working at like nonprofits, so like I got
disillusioned so easily. I stopped.
It's caring. The Rachel Berry's of the world.
I definitely get Rachel Berry for sure.
Rachel Berry for sure.
It was fun though. It was definitely a key, and I love those two jobs. And I really loved working. Actually, all the jobs that I had good bosses all happened in college settings because one was an undergrad and one was master's. I love my boss at UMD. My direct supervisor is amazing. I love her. So keep up with her. I think I just like college settings. I think that's what it gives. Work at college, but I don't work there. I need to go back. Maybe that's the issue.
I guess if you want to call her my boss, but my boss right now I still teach a class at a gym, and I love her. We talk about K-pop, but yeah, she's not even, no, I won't even call her my boss. Bosses are just so interesting.
Yeah, I like supervisors.
Can we have a game today?
Oh my gosh, we have a game all about quitting. Are you ready?
If the game is about quitting, then I'm always going to tell someone, don't quit. Because you want that unemployment, collect that unemployment. It's a bag too.
So we are about to play Quiet Quit or Capital Quit. Okay.
Okay.
So we are gonna decide based on these scenarios. We're going to decide based on these scenarios if it was a quiet quit, which is, you know, low key disengagement, ghosting, silent exit, you know, when you're just over it, or a capital quit, because we in DC, right? It's messy, it's loud, it's viral, it's dramatic, it's Leo. You feel me? It gives that.
I've done both. I've quiet quitted and I've loud quitted. Let's go.
First scenario. Someone emailed their resignation at 4:59 p.m. on a Friday and then immediately blocked the entire office on LinkedIn. Mind you, I would do this. No shade. No shade.
I would absolutely do this. If I didn't need the reference, I would do this.
Bitch, because fuck y'all. No shade.
Yeah. Like the job enough? Yeah.
Quitting, though?
Thank you. No, that's loud quitting. That's loud quitting because they're going to talk about you. For a little bit, and then
that's a storyline. Okay, capital quit. Capital quit.
I had someone do that, not block us, but she definitely did do that.
My favorite time of capital quitting. Quick aside was my 8th grade English teacher, Miss Potter. Shout out to Miss Potter if you're still alive. I don't know your age. Miss Potter quit so dramatically. It carried for me so bad.
What?
I don't know if she's dead or not. I don't know if she's dead. Oh. I hope she's alive and well, but it has been a long time. But she quit. It was tired of all the classes. And then she just quit over the weekend and, like, cleaned out her classroom and just left the keys under the door. And no one knew until, like, people walked in on Monday morning and they were like, this bitch quit. It gagged the people so bad. I lived.
Yeah. Sometimes they push you to that limit.
Always gag them. Okay, next scenario. Ding, ding. A retail worker left mid-shift, leaving only a post-it on the cash register that read, not enough coins in the world. That gives Rassy no shade. That gives Abby, because you a little try hard like that.
No, I would never do that. Ew. First of all, get that narrative out of me, weirdo. No, you're a bully at work. You're the mean girl, right? You're everyone's friend besides a couple people's. Let's be clear.
Most people.
You definitely talk shit about some of the girls with the other girls.
Of course.
You definitely just were telling me that you have legions to two specific sororities at your school and one other one, and you're just like, fuck, girl, who let the dogs out?
So is that capital quitting or quiet quitting?
That's just stupid. Like, it's just like you're trying to be funny, but at the end of the day, you're leaving me with all this work, so I'd be pissed. In a retail space, yes, I'd be so pissed. Fuck you. Because in a real estate space, also, most of the time, you're in a collaborative space. Unless I'm really and I would never be the one fucking with you. Unless everyone was pissing me off on the floor and we were not friends, I would definitely probably maybe consider doing that. But no, if you did that to me, fuck that. No, I'm not folding this by myself.
Period. Okay, next scenario. A hotel worker quietly took an extended bathroom break and just never came back, ever.
Okay.
Is that capital quit or quiet quit? Because it is low-key, but is that dramatic?
Quiet quit.
But, like, imagine you on the shift, right? And you're like, where is this bitch for real? And you mid-shift. How's that not messing up everything?
A dishwasher at one of my jobs stopped showing up, and then they called. He's just like, I just stopped showing up. And no one really felt any kind of way. There was, okay, I guess, thanks. Bye. I would say that's quiet quit. That's like, whatever.
A call center rep sent their away message to, this job is actually my 13th reason, before ghosting permanently.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, go kill yourself then, bitch. I don't care. Do it. I would say do it. Girl, do it then. If a job's going
to be... So you think the girls that try to get, like, clout off of it, like the people, the TikTokers that, you know, go on their phone and go on the speaker at Walmart and be like, oh, I'm about to leave, da, da, da. You think that's lame?
Yes. Again, boo. I would do that. Don't make your problem. I'm shopping right now. Don't make your problems my problem. I'm the customer service, please. Like, keep that to yourself. Again, if you're involving the public, yeah, I wouldn't do that. I never had to involve the public in any of my quittings. It's always been, for example, how about me giving you a good example? I worked at Orange Theory, by the way, and I don't mind saying this because I fucking hate Orange Theory and I hate the culture there and I hate the work culture there. And I definitely, okay, is this quiet quitting or loud quitting? I hated that job so much. They would make me clean without actually paying me off the clock, like all the instructors at Orange Theory.
Yeah, I remember this.
They clean off the clock, and I would never clean. I would always leave.
And they hated you for it. I remember this.
They hated me. And so obviously I was just like, I was just never going to do it. And if something was coming up where it was going to be either a certification or something, you know, when you get an assignment from work, you're like, this might be the reason why I quit. I don't see myself doing it. I don't see it happening. I did it. That's what I did. I said, I'm probably going to get a job after this. Like, I started looking immediately once they told me that I have 2 months to complete it. And I found the other job. And then once I found that job, got signed and I signed the papers, I just removed myself from the group chat. And then that's all I did. And the boss or the supervisor at the time was like, really? and I didn't respond. Done.
That is quiet quitting.
Yeah, because I wasn't going to make a big scene about it. I didn't, and y'all know I didn't like y'all. Or I didn't, no, that's not fair. I did like, there's a lot of people that I did like. Any other coach, I want to say I liked. I want to say I never vibed off with any of the coaches. Anyone of the older coaches, yeah, y'all were terrible. But that's just me. But yeah, so that's quiet quitting. Yeah, exactly.
So have you only quit things? You never gotten fired?
The only time I got fired was at Vito when, well, it was laid off. I got laid off at the pandemic. That's the only time I've been told, don't come back to work to us. I've never been fired. I'm a personality hire. I feel like the personality hire does not get fired.
I'm not putting anything
on there, girl. I might be talking, but let's be clear. I would much rather be fired than quit if it comes to I don't have a job to go to, because I need employment. So I will never quit, girl. Once I'm here, I'm putting my feet up.
I was only fired one time, and it wasn't really fired. Oh my gosh, let's wake that up. I used to work at a store called Crazy Eight, which was a sister store of Gymboree back in like 2010.
Yes.
And it was a little bit for older kids, still lower price. And it was like in my town, right next to the Gymboree. And sometimes, you know, obviously if they had needed help on the other side, you had to walk down to the other store and fold clothes over there. And I had to fold clothes, but it was a new store and no one ever came in. So like my homegirls would come and see me. I would chill. My other friend from high school worked there. My girl, who was a cheerleader at our college worked there. And one day I decided to take her shift because I only work night shift, but she worked day shift. I was like, oh, it's not that much different. And I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. No shade. I'm not really good at like part-time work. That's when I realized like, oh, I don't do like traditional bosses. Like I could be that supervise me, but like I can't tell people, like, don't tell me what to do. Like I can't.
Yes.
I can't do this regular work. It's no shade to people that can. If you can do retail, do you. I can do customer service. I cannot do retail. It's no shade. I just can't do it. I didn't know what I was doing. They were like, you can just go. And I was like, no worries. I was leaving in a week. So, because I was about to go back to college anyways. I was like, it's no issue, honey.
So wait, what they catch you doing? They just thought you were folding with terrible?
I just fucking up shit. I ain't know how to do no returns. I ain't know how to do no sales. I ain't know how to.
You were just getting in the way.
Yeah, honestly.
Did they train you?
No, and they only gave me like 3 hours a week. So I was like, girl, I don't even know what I'm doing.
They're like, girl, go on.
I was like 19. I was outside every day. I was going to the club, bitch.
That was going to bring up, you know what I do miss? Oh, working in college when you, like, especially during the summer when you were on campus or off campus, but like that feeling of just working because you
can.
You know? You can, and there's not like, it's not even about the money because you're broke, and you, like, you can just do, it was just like such a good.
Yeah, because your parents are still supporting you. Mind you, I'm still getting supported.
Now, jobs suck. Like, I always see this, like, having boy problems or like relationship problems during work or just even anything, like you find out fucking your friend's dying. Imagine doing all those things and then still having to work. That whatever that thing was, that's your 13th reason why. Not because someone asked you to find.
I think it's the opposite. You know, in my current job, I'm going to my 8th year, my longest time I've been in any job.
Oh my God, your 8th year. What's it called? Like 8 year or 10 year?
I've been here 10 years. First of all, y'all bitches ain't got tenure. What the fuck y'all doing? If you ain't got tenure, honey. No, I'm just kidding. Shout out to all y'all who don't or can't have a union or something. I've been a union. I have tenure. I enjoy my little life and my job. Fortunately, yeah. Cause I have rights. Okay. But I am in year 8 and I have lost three major deaths. Right. In all these years and being there and going back to work has always helped me. I always go back to work immediately. It always keeps me mind off things. I feel like work is always a distraction when I have things going on because I don't have to think about those things. I could be a different person. No, I think that's what the cool thing about jobs is. Like you have a place, you can go play pretend. You have a pretend family, a pretend relationships that you can go come back.
I don't feel that at all. And that's maybe because I don't have, like, my job is to me, like, part of my umbrella of what I do, like, my events and stuff. Like, I only use it to, like, cross over and as especially after the fitness stuff. But yeah, I feel like when I was, I guess something the closest that I could relate to that was when I would, or when I do still teach a class. But no, even teaching, I felt a lot of passion doing that. I loved doing it when I was doing it. And when I was still going through shit, I hated being there. Like all my parents, all like my mom's health scares and like my parents' health scares, the boy stuff, even like money, moving stuff, anything like that was just, I hated being at work. Because it just takes you out of things that matter about you. Let's not forget, work, like I hate the fact that we give 40 hours to something that's not about you. I hate that.
It said every Leo ever. This, that, you know, other people care about others. Can you imagine?
No, and that's why I kind of wish I did a job that mattered, like being like a pilot or being like or like a doctor. Yeah,
I love that.
It would be impossible. Something that would be actually impossible for me, because I could never and I would never. If I were to go back to school right now for a professional degree, it would have to be something like x-ray technician or physical therapist. Those are the two fields I think I would go back into. And I know you're surprised, but it makes perfect sense for me. If I were to go back to school, because they're both guaranteed good paying jobs, and I would have to get a doctorate, but I have 14 years in fitness and several different like personal training certifications. So I think I would,
yeah.
I think I would be geared up to do well in those two. And physical therapists make good money. So I think that's the plan for when I like turn 35.
I think that's a perfect field for you. If you could read, I think you would take over the world.
I'm just perplexed by Nunu, because Nunu is an educator and Nunu knows that
educators are the meanest people. First of all, educators are the meanest people.
I was a child left behind in the 2000s. Yeah, but I know how to read, y'all. I do know how to read. I read every day. And the longest book I still say to this day that I read is 3, 2, 1, starts with a D.
Starts with a B.
You're slick. 3, 2, 1.
Babe.
Breaking Dawn. I thought you were going to say the Bible. I've never read the Bible.
You should. It's an interesting little, it's a key. When you look at what's going on in the world, especially in DC, right, all this stuff is going on.
As I never thought that Trump would affect my pockets this much. I mean, he's fucked up with taxes and all this shit, but this has fully fucked up nightlife in DC. It has fucked up people trying to go out. Any sort of event organizer is struggling right now. It's a hard time to do it.
And these are people's jobs.
Bartenders. And at the end of the day, I would dare say business owners, but I, from what I've seen working with business owners are always going to protect themselves, especially independent business owners. So I just, my heart goes out to everyone who's like working in nightlife, working in service jobs, working in jobs that rely on the economy and what's actually, like Nunu says in her memoir, what's happening in the world.
What's happening in the world. I would call it the Great Resignation.
Depression.
The Great Stay. You know, we are at multi-year lows here, right? 52% of employees reported burnout last year. Is burnout real?
Yes.
Is burnout? Oh.
Yes. You have to actively want to get yourself out of burnout. I've been in burnout mode for the past 2 weeks. Today was the first day that I actually was like, I'm going to pick myself off the floor and I'm literally going to be like, I'm not going to have a bad day today at work. I'm not. I know people really well. I know what I need to do to not have a bad day today. I'm just going to bite the lip and do it. And I did it and I had a great day at work. So it's, you have to recharge, you have to really want to live your life. I cannot express that enough. And something that helps me is a cross between coffee, antidepressants, and some level of drugs.
Don't forget penis. I think that
first of all, don't ever talk about my life. I also just went to the doctor and guess who didn't have anything
except for gonorrhea. No,
that was such a relief. Oh my god, yeah, I got tested the other day. Nothing, girl.
I think I struggle with the concept of burnout because have a job that I enjoy and I've never felt like it was a chore.
Great. Thank you, Nunu, for letting us know that you're happy at your job.
Honestly, though, I do think that is part of why I'm so grateful for things, is because, especially education and being in a school where people just stay there for 20 or 30 years, it does become like a family, and to have a support system when you go to work is so comforting. And I really can't imagine working somewhere or being somewhere where I don't have people that genuinely care about me and check on me and have their best interests at heart, in a sense. Like, that is a foreign concept.
Yes.
I feel like that adds so much stress to the already terrible kind of pressures of life. I mean, there's so many good things, of course, but I do think dealing with, you know, emotions or real life and dealing with places where you don't feel supported, it must really, really get to you.
Yeah, it does. But thank God some of us are really strong mentally and we keep surviving and thriving. But I am so happy that this is one of my jobs, being on camera and on a mic with you. It brings a lot of joy to me. So thank y'all so much for joining us on this fabulous episode of the podcast. It started out so great. I'm thankful that if you are still listening to this podcast, you are definitely true. You're so very real. We love you. Make sure you're engaging with us. Make sure next time we drop something, when Taylor Swift gets engaged, you engage with us still. And don't forget that we're still out here. Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be
Thanks for listening to the episode. Make sure to follow @WaitRaffy and @NunuParis for all updates, especially about Reggaeton Brunch and when you're going to party with us. We'll see you there. Mwah.